Welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry of Brookside Baptist Church. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, and it's our joy to join you this morning, whether you are in the car on your way to work or maybe sitting with a cup of coffee, just listening to our broadcast as you get your day started. We're glad that you've joined us. Today we want to listen to a young man whose testimony may be like the testimony of a lot of young adults. We have Pastor Steve with us, who's on staff at Brookside, and what a joy it is, Pastor Steve, to have you here. And you were just sharing with us before the broadcast began how that you grew up in a Christian home, and I guess everything seemed to be emphasis on being a good guy, but pretty soon you began to realize something's missing. Well, I'll let you tell your story.
Sure. I grew up in a Christian home. My dad is a first-generation Christian.
Mm-hmm.
My grandma, his mother, got saved before she passed away, but up to that point, I believe right now, he's the only one saved in his side of the family.
Oh, okay.
He got saved when he was in college age at a Christian camp and just kind of tried to figure out Christianity on his own for quite a long time.
Wow.
And so as a parent, as a first-generation Christian, you're trying to figure out how to know God and how to raise a family at the same time. My mom grew up in a Mennonite family,
mm-hmm.
Where they do believe the gospel. However, depending on what kind of Mennonite church you're in, really determined how you were going to raise your kids and what you were going to cling to and,
sure.
and different things like that. So they were trying to figure all this out on their own, but they knew early on in their marriage that they wanted to be a part of a local church and they wanted to have their kids in a Christian school.
Right.
So from the earliest I can remember, I was involved in Christian education,
mm-hmm.
Went to Christian kindergarten, and that was very good for us to hear the Bible taught and things of that nature. So I'm very grateful for that. However, growing up, I can remember the emphasis of my family. Yes, church was important. However, sports dominated our family.
Oh, wow.
My dad was very good in athletics. He grew up in a somewhat abusive home. His dad and his mom were alcoholics, and you know, it just created an environment where he didn't want to be home a lot, so he stayed out and played lots of sports.
A lot of practice.
His sport was baseball.
I see.
Loved baseball. Went to college, played baseball, got drafted by the Detroit Tigers, and he thought baseball was going to be his future.
Of course,
and then
yeah.
He blew out his knee.
Oh, wow.
And that kind of ended all that. My mom was a tennis pro. That's, in fact, how my parents met. He was taking tennis lessons, and he said, I want to take lessons from her. So that's how my parents met.
Oh.
And she was a physical education major in college and loves to be active. So my family put a lot of emphasis in sports.
I guess
whatever
so.
Season it was, that's the sport that we played.
Right.
And all my memories growing up was being at this soccer tournament, this basketball game, this baseball tournament, you know, this tennis camp, and that dominated my childhood.
Right, right.
So growing up as a young person, that's the importance that sports had in my life. It was everything. It was fun. I enjoyed doing it, but that's really what my world revolved around.
So it was your God.
It was my God.
Mm-hmm.
And not even knowing it as a young person, it just, that was my life.
Now, were you a believer at this time?
If we want to rewind to when I was in first grade, we had chapel once a week.
Yeah.
I was 7 years old. And I can remember specifically a man who is now a pastor in the Midwest
mm-hmm.
stand up there and preach. And he was teaching on if you were to die today without knowing for sure that you had a relationship with Jesus Christ and that he died on the cross for your sin, you would spend eternity apart from him in a place called hell. Man, hearing those words as a 7-year-old boy instantly struck fear into my heart, and I just started to weep.
Mm.
I knew I wasn't saved. A few weeks prior to that chapel, it was around Thanksgiving time, we were supposed to draw a picture of things we were thankful for and then write out our salvation testimony and then share with the class our testimony.
No pressure.
No pressure. And here I am thinking, I'm going to have to lie.
Yeah, sure.
I don't have a testimony and I knew it. Well, it was coming up to my turn to share my testimony and the fire alarm went off. And we had
saved
a fire drill
bell,
saved
huh?
by the bell and I didn't have to give it and I
Goodness.
Just... That got me thinking, and it was just a few weeks later in that chapel message that the Lord delivered me, and I stayed after, and my teacher saw that I was crying, told me to come to the side, and we spoke to the man after, and
yeah.
he had the opportunity to share with me how I can know that I'm going to have eternal life.
And you were in first grade.
First grade.
What an encouragement to everybody who's listening to us, Pastor Steve, that ministers to young children.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's great.
Absolutely. Just now, my children are 5, 4, and 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I rejoice every day hearing what they're coming home from Sunday school with and
right.
kids' church and what we try to teach them in the home through our little devotional times mm-hmm. and the questions and the insight. You know, those children's workers out there, it's probably one of the most discouraging things because you never see the fruit because maybe it doesn't reveal itself till later on down the road.
Exactly.
But it is there and it's powerful. So it's encouraging.
And you being the children's pastor and the youth pastor at Brookside, you're able to share your testimony with all your workers and say, hey, don't give up on these kids.
Yes, never give up on a young child. And the beauty of the scriptures is the Lord himself talks about the innocence of a child
mm-hmm.
and how the gospel is so clear and understandable that even a child can understand it.
Right.
And we live in a world today where you could be the most knowledgeable and wisest person in your field of business and still not understand the simplicity because we want to complicate everything. Oh, well, how could they understand this truth if they're only 7 years old?
Sure.
Well, you know what? The Bible is very clear that if you simply understand that you're a sinful person,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that doesn't take much convincing.
Right.
I mean, as a 7-year-old boy, I understand that I do wrong and that I have a sinful nature and that what the Bible says is that the punishment for that sin is death.
Right.
And that death is separation from God. Well, my heart doesn't want to pay the price for any of my sin. We live in a world today where we want to make excuses for our sin. We don't want to pay the price for anything that we do.
Mm-hmm.
We want to try to find a way to escape that.
Right.
Well, the scripture reveals that the way for us to escape this punishment that we deserve
yes.
is through one person, and that's the person of Jesus Christ.
The perfect Son of God.
Yeah. And as a 7-year-old, I understood that. It's a simple gospel.
And that, of course, is the greatest message that can ever be shared. It's how your life can change from the inside out.
Absolutely.
So as a first grader, you trusted Christ as your personal Savior. But then as you were growing older, it was just easy for you to say, okay, I've got that settled. Let's go on to what's next. And sports seemed to be the big thing.
Sure. Well, I can remember after I was led to the Lord, I can remember specifically coming home, and I was excited. Did I understand everything that took place? I just knew that that was an important decision to make and something was different. So I went home and I remember being so encouraged and I just wanted to tell my parents what I did. So I ran home and my mom was given tennis lessons and I said, Mom, Dad, I got saved. And I wasn't expecting the reaction that I got.
Mm.
Are you sure? It was kind of not like we're excited for you. It was more like,
yeah, you're too young.
Yeah. And I don't know if they meant it in a negative way.
Sure. Right.
However, that really discouraged me.
Uh-huh.
And I can remember struggling with that, thinking, you know, why isn't this an exciting thing? So as I continued to move on with my life, I just struggled with that in my heart and I didn't really grow. Spiritually, there wasn't really anybody investing in my life at that time for spiritual things. I continued to do the sports and we played community soccer leagues, select leagues, where we would travel the country and play soccer tournaments. And we lived in right outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We travel all the way to Minnesota to play a soccer tournament, New York, Virginia. So my family traveled a lot, which meant that we weren't in church a
right,
lot
right,
growing
exactly.
up. And if there wasn't a tournament, we would be in church.
Mm-hmm,
however,
mm-hmm.
it wasn't, no, we're going to say no to soccer or no to baseball
right.
and go to church. We're going to, we'll go if there's no tournament.
You knew what the priority was.
I knew what the priority was.
Yeah.
And before long, as you're growing up,
mm-hmm.
you're hoping for tournaments on weekends so you don't have to go to church.
Right.
Church becomes a place where you don't really know what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know why you go. You're wishing and praying that you don't have to go because it's not fun.
Right.
Because your life revolves around fun. And that's the way my life was all the way up until I was 16, 17 years old. And then the Lord brought some very challenging times to really wake up not only myself, but I truly believe he brought us through difficult times to wake up my family to some spiritual realities of what are you really living for.
Yeah.
And I can remember when I was in sixth grade, my dad found out that he was going to lose his job. He was a vice president of a bank for 30 years. And another bank was buying him out. And as an older individual, you're replaceable by younger people that they have to pay less.
Right.
And that was a challenging time for my family who had everything. A big house, a tennis court, a swimming pool. Everything people want and desire in this life, we had.
Mm-hmm.
We had vacations to Florida, to Disneyland. We had lots of friends. We had everything.
Right.
However, there was such an emptiness that it's hard to describe because at the time you don't feel that emptiness except for there are certain moments where you're like, man, there's got to be more than this. I can remember my dad for 7 years in and out of jobs. We had to sell that house. We lost money on the house.
Mm.
We had to rent from my aunt.
That was humbling.
Humbling.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember specifically a time where the church brought us bags of food.
Oh, my.
Not that that's a terrible thing,
yeah.
But when you've gone from a place of you think you're very high in habit to a place of humility where you need bags of food from the church.
Yes.
I can remember hiding the food from my dad so that he would not come downstairs and see that the church brought us food. And I believe that God is sovereign and all of that he was orchestrating to help us realize all that we were living for was in vain and it was empty.
Because God had a plan for your life, and it required humility. It required the opportunity to learn that everything that I have may not come from my hand. It may come from God's hand. Well, Pastor Steve, we have reached the end of this broadcast, but if Pastor Steve's testimony has rung a bell for you this morning, I trust that you'll continue to listen for the next couple of times. And whenever you hear about a child making a spiritual decision, we've heard this morning how important it is to be excited about that and to show a tremendous interest in that. We are also learning how that God wants us to be teaching proper priorities in our homes. And boy, sports is certainly a god of this world, and how important it is for us to turn our eyes on the Lord and what God's plan for our life may be, and not just the significance that we get from other activities. But until the next time, I trust the Lord will take these lessons and minister to your heart and to your family. And as we get together the next time, continue to listen to what God has to say in your life. Until the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.